clear the airways for the big broadcast. It's time for HempRadio.com, your source for everything hemp and cannabis. With your host, Patty Cakes, the Queen of Cannabis.
Hey, welcome to Hemp Radio. It's Patty Cakes, the Queen of Cannabis. What a great show we have today. I'm here with my co-host, sweet little Jessica Sweet. Your name is so appropriate.
Thank you, Patty.
And we have special guests. I'm so excited. This is going to be a great show. We have Dr. Jeffrey Raber, one of my old and dear friends. I love you so much. I'm so glad you're here of the workshop.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here too.
And we have two budding entrepreneurs. Did you like that?
That was excellent.
Yeah. I just pulled that out of my head now. Gus and Mike. And they are with Rosin Company.
Rosin
Is that right?
Yeah, Rosin Co.
Rosin Co. I mean, CEO, I thought it was company. Anyway, welcome, welcome, welcome. And we're going to be talking about something that everybody has in common here, except for me, is terpenes and what are we talking about? Rosins and resins and...
I think what we're going to be talking about is that Rosin Co. is a solventless extract company, and so their extracts retain a better terpene profile. They're going to explain it better than I can.
Okay. But you know what? Before we get started on the serious stuff, anything happening? Did anybody have a great, bad, different weekend? Anything happening in your life? What a bunch of deadbeats.
I'm boring.
Jeffrey.
It was happened. Beautiful. I was up in Washington, and the weather was great.
Washington nice. State.
State, yeah.
Okay, where?
There was actually a terp festival, basically.
Excellent.
Oh, my God, a terp?
What was that?
Yeah. Oh, tell
terp
us about
festival,
it.
I guess they called it. So it was the second annual one. They had a couple of speakers, good panels, some booths with people that are definitely, I'd say, terpene enthusiasts. And it was a lot of fun. Beautiful day and a really good crowd.
Wonderful.
So, nice afternoon on a Saturday.
Wow. Wow.
Any,
lovely.
Any standout, anything you would mention from there? What's new in the world of terpenes? I didn't even know there was a terpene convention.
Right.
See,
like,
what
I think
you missed
last
out
year
on?
They yeah. barely knew that it was there. And this year it got bigger. And I think more people were, the marketing material was bigger. More people were talking more openly about them.
Why? Was it a big secret?
Ways of making air freshener, ways of making...
Was that a secret, terpenes?
No, I think it was just not understood or appreciated as fully.
I still don't understand it. I still don't understand
them. You know how you
them.
Can smell different kinds
They're
of buds, Patty,
you.
And they all smell different to you?
Yeah.
The reason is terpenes.
Right. That I get.
Okay.
I understand that.
Okay, so you know how people use aromatherapy to, like, slightly enhance their mood or relax them, or even sometimes for pain relief?
I don't
That's also terpenes.
I don't need anything.
Yeah,
I don't need anything to enhance me.
You know how your pheromones work? Those are terpenes.
Yeah.
So Patty knows that.
Smell and that chemical through your nose is so much more communication between your body and the world than you realize.
Okay. Jeffrey was the first one that introduced me to terpenes.
We started testing in 2011.
So, and then you had your kit.
Yep, our Can Aroma kit.
Your Can Aroma kit, do you still have the kit?
We do.
Have you changed anything about that
we
kit?
We are in the process of changing it.
Okay.
So we're adding a little bit of a game element to it. So
Ooh.
You can kind
Did
of
you say a gay?
Game. No, game.
Gay terpenes. What the hell's a gay terpene?
Well, it's a full spectrum.
Game.
Oh, okay.
But that way you can kind of quiz yourself and test your friends and have bragging rights over
gotcha.
That
okay.
you know more than others.
How important... Is it to have terpenes in your cannabis? Is that going to enhance the flavor, the smell, the taste, or the head?
All of the above.
Yeah, yes.
So it's exceptionally important. Without it, you have Marinol. So That's no true. One finds Marinol to be exceptionally effective. It's mm-hmm. just one single molecule of THC.
So
whole plant cannabis is when you have other minor cannabinoids and all the terpenes.
Yes, this is why the juicing is getting so popular, even though it's difficult.
That's why we
to
stick to that
do.
Method. That way we get the full spectrum of the plant, not just the taste, but the effects as well.
Mm-hmm. And really, really unique flavor profiles.
Okay, what is... I have some... Somebody gave me bottles of terpenes, lino...
Linalool?
Uh-huh. Yeah. What do I do with that? Put it on my hair? What?
First, you should
I don't
be very careful with it. When they're concentrated, they can be really strong.
But what so do you do? What do I do with it? And why do I have it?
Just open the bottle and waft it towards you and smell it. So it can cause effects just at very minute amounts. You don't need much. Well, they smell good. Sometimes they can
like when you
your
say
mood.
Effects, like an what are we talking about?
Like that one may be somewhat sedating for some, or calming in an anxiety and relaxative like type of approach.
Yeah, if I put it under somebody's chart, hold on. Oh, you. Jessica brought this fabulous chart in, which I will never read.
So here you have linalool, right?
Yeah. Linalool
is present
in
lavender. It smells somewhat like lavender.
Sedating. Just what you're so smart.
I mean, cheat sheet either.
She cheats in his head.
Okay. I have two. I don't know. There's Chris.
Hi, Chris.
The lifter's here. I love him so much. Okay. So... if pot is not good,
who said pot is not good?
Wait a minute. If pot, did you ever get pot that you couldn't that didn't have a great smell?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So does that mean there's no terpenes?
Very low amounts of them.
Yeah, it could be really old, and you can smell it when it's stale. Sometimes it even smells mildewy. That's really gross. I'm not touching that.
Do terpenes dissipate as the pot ages?
They do, yeah.
They actually kind of cure along. Like the flavors will change and the smells will change over time.
Okay, what's the longevity of terpenes on your pot? Say I have a jar of pot.
Aren't there like over 400 terpenes?
Oh, so it doesn't matter?
Way more than 150 that are found in cannabis. Some are saying they found over 220. So I don't know if we have a settled number yet, but it's a lot. And the word terpene in chemistry is 20,000 molecules. So it's
so
a lot of
different
things.
So terpene means molecules? Terpene means molecules.
Molecules that are built out of repeating isoprene units, which is 5 carbons and 8 hydrogens.
It's like talking...
Wait, do you know what the etymology of the word terpene is?
That I don't know.
What does the root T-E-R-P mean? No. Oh, make a dandy report.
That would be good, but I don't know that one.
See, I don't care about any of this. I just care about what it does to me and
like,
how
shut
it
up,
makes
nerds.
Me feel. No, but people need... there are people that love this information, and I think it's so important that you give it to them. So if you have pot that... You know how you ever say, oh, this doesn't smell very good? But it tastes, but it, it's a great high.
There was a really interesting study done in, I believe it was Australia, where they could differentiate low grade and medium grade, but not medium from high, based on the amount of terpenes that are present. Your nose basically got saturated.
That makes so much sense.
At some point, you're like, this all really smells good, but the content might not have been as high as the really high grade.
Well, I think
but
that's
you definitely
why,
know when it's low.
And
you're
it's
like,
nice
not here.
To see also that the nicer dispensaries are now employing the same method that perfumeries do, where they give you a little container of coffee beans to smell in between to refresh your
yep, kind of clear out your nose.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. So terpenes are like perfume.
Yeah,
yes,
very similar.
Exactly. Yep.
Why
you know
didn't
how they
somebody
put pheromones
just say
in? Oh, we should have just said just
perfume that
Chanel
affects your mood.
Five.
Okay, I don't wear
perfumes.
Okay, so that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, what has people? Everybody's talking about terpenes now. When you were doing it, Jeffrey, nobody was talking.
No one knew what they were.
You were a freak, and they're saying, "Yeah, he's
now
making it up."
Now it's all terpy, terp sauce, extra terp. So everyone wants more of them.
Right. Right.
It's
so,
kind of fun from my perspective.
So are we to say that you invented terpenes?
Oh, no. Didn't do that. No, I didn't do that. We were just the first to really start looking at them closely in cannabis. So, but they were around. And this is the way plants talk to the environment, talk to themselves, talk to insects, talk to everything else. So it's a way that they can kind of communicate with everything.
Well, and humans speak to each other in an olfactory method as well, don't we?
Definitely.
I love it. You're
smell
like the
fear,
Nikola
smell
Tesla
anger.
Of cannabis.
Smell
I'll take that. That sounds great.
Okay, so I'm sure there's other surprises then. If we just are talking about terpenes, what else is new?
I think trying to understand the terpenes and which ones are doing what is the really exciting avenue that we're going down, but we really have next to no idea. So you can see that like all of these are present, but they're present in different ratios and different amounts, and you're getting wildly different effects from those. So it's not just, I know this one's
here. Are you testing on monkeys?
It's how much, not yet.
Rats?
I wish that we
myself,
took
this
same reserved, excited
I'll be
approach
a test.
To food.
I'll be a test. You can test on
be
me.
A tester?
Yeah. I love being a tester. I was a pot tester in the 70s.
So, well, I think we all are, right? We're all living experiments
right,
so which one's right for us in which way? How much are we ingesting in which fashion? Are they as orally available as they are through inhalation? And how much of them are present in each of the products? And then what do you get when you consume it via dab, via a bone,
right,
via a joint, via other methods?
Which method is the best?
Whichever one works for you physiologically.
So we're all, look.
Here's where you get into bioindividuality, just like with food. Each person is a separate process that's happening differently, not only from beginning to end of their life and through different phases, but very differently from another human.
But don't you think that a part of that is what you're used to also determines how your body reacts and interacts with that, whatever it is.
Consumers can like use their nose as their detector at the dispensary and say, I'm really familiar with this. This one is the one that I like into a good response. I'll go after that again, no matter what someone's tried to name it right now. Mm-hmm. So what we know is we're not able to fully map names to the chemical compositions that are there. Mm-hmm. So in the absence of labeling that way, then patients and consumers need to kind of trust their nose and see what they're going to get.
People trust your nose. I trust my nose.
You know, when I go to the dispensary and I smell flowers that smell like cheese, that's really off-putting to me. I love cheese. I like the smell of cheese. I have no problem with it.
So what is that?
But when the buds smell like cheese, I don't like it.
But
I know I'm not
going to
like it.
Certain small amounts of terpenes or similar molecules that make those smells.
Mm, like a fermented smell almost. Ugh. Oh, I don't like when the buds smell like
that.
I'm
not a fan either.
No.
So
I like
if
the
you
lemony
get,
smell. Lemon.
If you go to the dispensary and it smells like cheese, don't buy it.
No, no, no. But that's
good
the thing.
For some
people, that's going to be attractive. Yeah. Like I tell people sometimes, if it smells like something that would make you a little hungry, it's probably going to be good for you. Like trust your nose.
Okay. Yeah. So you first eat with your eyes, and in this case, your nose, and then you actually eat.
Yeah.
Have you had pot? I have. That smelled good, tasted good, but you really didn't give you a good head.
Yes.
Pretty flat effect. Yeah.
So what causes that? Not enough terpenes?
Enough of the right ones in the right ratios is what we think. Because we are kind of playing around with, say, about 40 of them. So you're always using those same 40, but you get wildly different effects based on what their ratios are, the combinations you put them together in, even with the same cannabinoid base. So knowing the cannabinoids are all the same, just changing the terpenes, you can see wildly different
effects.
Wow,
and just
effects.
The difference in terpenes with the same level of cannabinoids can have such a broad a broad range of effects. That's amazing.
And there may be like one specific set
What's
of
the best
terpenes
terpene?
For each person. Oh, I think they're all really good. And they're not all good by themselves. So, you know, what's interesting
is
you can look at like terpenylene. It smells a lot like lemons. And in fact, most people misidentify limonene and terpenylene. Mm. But terpenylene by itself is seen to be sedative, but yet it's prevalent in jack hair, train wreck, and all the things that we call typically sativa-like.
Right.
So by itself is very different than when it's with cannabinoids and everything else in those plants. So it's really got to go to a cannabis composition, not just a single molecule argument. So just like THC by itself isn't the same, neither is any terpene by itself.
It's so amazing that like what you're saying basically is we know enough to know that we don't know anything yet.
Exactly.
But it's really cool so far.
But doesn't it also have to do
it's
with
incredible.
Age too?
Well, over time, you
age
can see them
what?
Oxidize and you can
age
see them
the,
change
the
to other things.
The person that's consuming?
No.
Age
the flower
of
cures. Yeah, the flower cure. Oh, she's joking.
Well, now, that can certainly make an impact too. So what other products are formed via oxygen or thermal degradation, isomerization while you like let it sit? Mm-hmm. So, and very, very small amounts can cause very different effects. So that whole process of I grew the plant this way, I pressed it into rosin, I cured it this fashion, and then I delivered it to the patient and they consumed it this way, all of that makes an impact.
Completely agree.
So now you guys have completely turned upside down what I know about rosin, resin.
What's the difference between resin and rosin? Gus knows this.
Well, I mean, live resin is usually what's referred to a live plant extraction, but that would usually be a butane extraction or some sort of solvent that would be involved in the process, whereas the rosin, we're using just pressure and heat.
So there's no solvent.
Well, I mean, there a lot of stuff is popping up now that's called live rosin.
Right.
And what that is essentially is just a live plant that was processed into bubble hash and then processed into rosin.
See, I don't know what bubble hash is.
Bubble hash would be
delicious.
There's too much stuff. Just give me
I don't
a
know
joint.
What it is either.
Give
I don't
me
know
a
either.
Joint. I'll be fine.
I mean,
what? What is the difference between me smoking a joint?
Yeah, a joint with a little rosin in it, you'll be more than fine.
Exactly. It's really just wanting to get rid of all that plant matter that would have to be combusted and getting just the terpenes and the THC content into your body.
It really just condenses everything. You get all the positives and none of the negatives.
Okay. If it's lettuce. Okay. If Oh, this was brilliant in my head before I forgot it. Oh my God, it was just brilliant. I'll come back to it because it was, oh, okay. If you press a leaf of lettuce, mm-hmm. what are you going to get? Nothing?
Well,
does it have rosin in it?
No, you would get the juice out of the plant material. But when you're talking about food, you want to retain the fiber in the food. Because once you squeeze out all the liquid, what you've got basically is very mineralized sugar water. You have to have the fiber to mitigate the absorption of that sugar.
Yeah, I'll be the first to admit that we actually pressed a gummy worm the other day.
Oh, my God. And what did you do?
Oh, my God. Wait, have you seen that no, YouTube channel of the guy that uses a hydraulic press to crush strange objects?
That's why we pressed the gummy worm. We were just extremely curious.
And yes? For any of those interested...
Well, what it did is it separated the sugar from all the other junk, and it was
kidding.
Actually pretty interesting.
So it squished out and left crystals?
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
That's very interesting.
Is your background in science?
No, my background's in fixing cars. I'm a general mechanic. I specialize in cars before 1960.
Wow. He's a tinkerer.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Gus?
Me, I really don't have a background in this. I've just been involved in the cannabis movement since I was a young child, pretty much.
Gus is made of weed.
Yeah, I kind of am 90% composed of marijuana. No, really, it was just something I found at a very young age that fixed my medical issues, and it's really all I've known and done since then.
What, if you don't mind my asking, what conditions have you
The main
treated?
Thing that I treated with this growing up was my allergies. So I was on a lot of
That's right. You said that. In
what form were you ingesting for
with
allergies?
With terpene for allergies.
Sorry. Some terpenes can be allergens themselves. So if you leave some around too long, they can become sensitizers and make people irritated.
You're right.
Pinene is known to kind of open the bronchial airways. No, if you have asthma.
Nothing clears
like
up
I have
my
asthma and it helps.
Nostrils like a very terpy dab that I just exhale through my nose. That's the best medicine I think I can find for opening
that.
Them up.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, but...
So did you have seasonal allergies or food allergies? Or
what it was for me, it was really just the pollen was killing me. So I was on constant pills. It was killing my liver. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I had a doctor who was nice enough to, it was not good.
Is that what made you get involved?
At what age? How old were you when you had this problem?
I was 13.
Oh, my God.
Luckily, I had a very progressive doctor at Children's Hospital who was open enough with me to tell me that there was alternatives. And,
like, hey, this pill that we give you is ruining your organ.
Yeah. She was very honest about it and got on the THC since then and been a lot better for it, I think. I'm still here.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Yes, absolutely.
We're glad you came today. We're going to talk more with our fabulous buds. And right now we're going to take a short break and we'll be back with more Hot Pot Topics and maybe Chris will join us.
Roll another. Yeah. I was gonna clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high. My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La da 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 da. I was gonna go to class before I got high.
Come on, y'all.
Check it out. I could have cheated and I could have passed, but I got high.
La da.
I'm taking it next semester, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
Go to the next. Go to the next. Go to the next.
I was gonna go to court before I got high. I was gonna pay my child support, but then I got high.
No, you wasn't.
They took my whole paycheck, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I got high. Because I got high, because I got high. La da 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 da. I wasn't gonna run from the cops, but I was high.
I'm serious, man.
I was gonna pull right over and stop, but I was high. La da da. Now I'm a paraplegic, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I got high, because I got high, because I got high. La da da. I was gonna make love to you, but then I got high.
Help me sing.
I'm serious.
I was gonna eat your now I'm and I know why.
Because I got high.
I messed up my entire life because I got high. I lost my kids and wife because I got high.
Say what?
Now I'm sleeping on the sidewalk and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high. Because I got high. La 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 da da da. I'ma stop singing this song because I'm high.
President,
baby. I'm singing this whole thing wrong because I'm high.
Bring it back.
And if I don't sell one copy, I don't know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I'm high. Cause I'm high.
Are you really high though, man? He really is high, man.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Hemp Radio. I'm Patty Cakes. I'm here with my co-host, Jessica Sweet.
Hello.
And she's very sweet, I must say.
Thank you.
Very sweet.
I really hate all of this affection. Don't stop.
Listen, I don't say this a lot, so enjoy it, right, Jeffrey? You know. Yeah. I'm brutal. And my dear, 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 dear friend, Dr. Jeffrey Raber is with us. I'm so happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our Gus and Mike from
Roz & Co,
mm-hmm. which is a solventless extract company based in San Diego.
Yes.
And wait, Chris joined us. Hey.
Hey, everybody.
How are you lifting, babe?
Doing heavy lifting as usual.
Busy? Are you busy?
Today, no. It's actually been pretty slow.
Oh, good. So we're glad that you joined us because Chris used to make resins.
I used to specialize in extracts too. Bubble hash,
exactly,
BHO,
exactly.
As well as rosin.
So now cool. I know these guys are getting ready to explode with all this information that I have no idea what they're talking about. But tell us what's new and exciting and what you're working on now.
Yes. Please.
Jeffrey or
whoever wants to.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, the main thing that we're moving towards now this is Gus from Roz & Co. The main thing that we're pushing towards now is specializing more on our dry sift methods.
Your what?
Our dry sift methods, which would be...
Love the dry sift.
Yes, the dry sift is always...
Just a way of capturing trichomes by themselves.
Dry sift.
Give you a quick breakdown of that. So dry sifting, I mean, it's basically the ancient method of extracting trichomes from the buds. It's very time-consuming. Most of the time it is done by hand over a small micron sheet. We're working with Green Bros based out of San Diego. They have fantastic machines,
mm-hmm.
Which we are using for our dry sift method. So, I mean, at this point, that's really what we're working on the most. It's just getting the purest terpenes we can from those trichomes.
So have they automated the process then?
Green Bros is making amazing, amazing machines for harvesting. They are pretty much the best out there. But for this new dry sifting method that they've created, I think is pretty much the best thing out there, because there is Dry Sift Solutions is also one of the companies that does it, and there's a few others, but none of them fully automate the process the way Green Bros does.
Oh, cool. And then that's important for you guys to send into the rosin press.
Of course, at that point then we can throw that in a very small micron tea bag and press that out and you know, sure that we're going to get, you know, absolutely nothing but the goods.
So what are the steps? You said there are various steps. I've seen a two-step process where he does it with the parchment paper and then puts it in the Walmart press. I don't know what it's called, but you can buy them at Walmart. Did you see him? I love him so much.
The hair straightener.
No,
an actual press.
It's an actual press. I mean, it's a $400, $500, $600.
Yeah, they just came out with one.
Man, Walmart's doing an Amazon.com thing now, huh?
Yes. They're trying.
They're catching up.
I hate him anyway. Anyway.
without giving away your trade secrets,
I mean,
what is the...
The difference between, you know, what is now being called a live rosin to, you know, just what I call a flower squish. A flower squish would really just be taking the best nugs from the harvest, breaking those up as lightly as possible, because the more that you handle it is the more that you're going to be, you know, losing
Correct.
Some of those trichomes. So you got to handle that as
just like pie crust.
Exactly.
Just like high crust.
Yeah, you don't want to melt all your butter.
No, you can't. You can't touch it a lot. Right. You can't touch it a lot. You fuck it up.
Too flaky. And this is when they're all dried and cured at that point?
No. See, that's the one thing that a lot of people... And this is, I think, the main reason that rosin has kind of had that bad name of having the rosin aftertaste. A lot of people are pressing bud that has been in jars for a long time.
Mm.
You don't want that. I mean, the way that I have found is best is to take plants that are curing to the point where the it's just starting to snap a bit, you know. Mm. You don't want it to be fully cured. But there is something in retaining a bit of moisture that does help with the extraction process. Okay. So I don't know. I've just found that's the best.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. When you cure your buds, what does that do? You put them in a jar. You open the jar. I mean, what does that do to the pot?
You're dehydrating it.
Right. So essentially you're bringing out the... I mean, I'm sure Dr. Terpenes would have a better explanation.
You're giving it time to react with oxygen in the air. So you'll have small changes in the terpene profile that way, which can impact the flavor and effect.
But you said that if they extract the pure bud, they don't have that in there. Is that right?
No, they will. So, I mean, it depends at what state they capture the bud. Right. So, fresh frozen or things where they say it's like kind of like
I was just about to ask about that.
Just hacked it down and froze it.
You guys need to talk about the fresh frozen.
Capture as many terpenes. Right. Once you kill the plant, it stops producing terpenes and they start leaving.
Exactly.
So, how close can I get it to that point where I capture everything that's still there? And then I can kind of get it where I just... You know, I'm ingesting it right as if it was still on the plant and it was still in the ground. I think that's the goal. How close can I get back to it?
Like, how do you measure?
You don't. All right. Nature already has.
Okay.
So the different terpenes have different volatility or boiling points, and different compositions will react differently in that respect. Sometimes it's called an azeotrope. You put two things together and the boiling point changes for each of the components.
Just like cooking food.
Trope meaning decay.
You don't want to burn it?
Well, it's like ethanol and water. Like you can't get out water. You can only distill it a certain amount. But if I add benzene, then I can get the water out and leave pure ethanol behind because they form an azeotrope. They work together. It's like a physical property. They kind of like hang
chemistry.
Out together.
It's chemistry. What likes each other?
Yeah, exactly. How much do they have affinity for each other?
That's cool.
Does that sound better?
Okay.
Yeah, we like emotional
speed.
Did they
take each other out for coffee first?
How long does it take? Exactly. To transfer a bud, a fresh bud, into rosin.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's the thing. If you're trying to turn fresh bud into rosin, you're going to have to turn that bud into either dry sift or bubble hash before you can press
it out. What's bubble hash?
Okay, so bubble hash is the process of using water and ice and many levels of micron bags.
Oh, I've seen that before where they dump the whole thing in the bucket in the cold water and the thing.
And related to the micron bags, I was actually going to ask about the dry sift. There's multiple screen sizes too, correct?
Yes.
So you can actually pull out different terpenes, aka different trichomes. Yes. Based on the sizes.
Oh, what's the difference between a terpene and a trichome?
Oh, I know this one. The trichome is the little bubble of sticky that sticks out from different places on the plant. The terpene is...
But what does it do?
That's what...
It holds the cannabinoids and terpenes.
Yeah, that holds all the stuff that you want.
Trichomes hold the good stuff.
Yes, and so you know how when you see those nice close-up pictures of beautiful flower, it has like
dripping
kind of
like,
amber, honey-looking bubbles on it? Those are trichomes.
The nectar.
Yeah, for the listeners who have never seen any up-close pictures, they usually resemble mushrooms, where the top of the mushroom is where all the medicine is held, and the stem
like
is what's connected to the plant.
Wow.
So, yeah.
There are different sizes of trichomes, different morphologies, so different size mesh screens can cause you to trap different ones. So some will go through, some won't, so some don't have
a larger bald head.
Sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, different cultivars are very different.
And so will different size and structures of trichomes contain different substances? Or is it pretty...
It appears so.
Oh my God, this is so much more detailed than we thought.
And the fascinating part about it too is that it's off of one plant, you can harvest it early, in the middle, or late, and it's going to affect the flavors as well.
Well, I would figure if it changes
oxidation
the color.
Oxidation or different production rates of why I might want to signal different things later in my cycle. So do I want to attract someone to pollinate me, or do I want to ward off pests that come when I have...
I want to ward
where the plant is communicating with its environment.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's what I want to do.
So the trichomes are the plant's form of communication with the environment.
Yeah. There's an awesome PBS documentary, What Plants Talk About, and that's all about their terpene signaling and how they communicate with the world, and it's just a really good thing.
I'm really worried about you, Jeffrey.
If cannabis plants have this like super complicated and complex and beautiful form of communication on their surface, I wonder what's happening at the mycelial layer.
Internally,
there's a lot going on underground.
Oh my goodness! Because the mycelium is already helping all these things communicate. So, like, how much more is happening with this plant? It always really—I know this is crazy—but it really raises the question of sentience.
Do plants have sex?
Of course they do. They just do it in the air between them.
Not the same passion that humans do.
Okay.
I don't know if we should ask you to define that, but yeah, it's a little different than the way we...
Remember the talk about pheromones?
Pardon me?
Remember the talk about pheromones?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, earlier we talked about pheromones and how they put them in perfumes and whatever. Well, plants give off pheromones to attract their pollinators. So the bee comes and, you know, picks up the pollen.
Okay, hold on. Plants have sex with bees.
The bees are the facilitators of the sex. The bees are kind of the fluffers.
They do titillating. Yeah. Get them excited.
The bee is the fluffer, gets the plant excited, takes the one thing to the other, and delivers the package.
Yeah, they just don't walk into the car after.
They're not going to call the next day. Sorry.
No phone number there.
We are having fun with the terpenes and... I'm so confused, though.
We still need to finish Gus's question.
Yeah, Gus. Sorry.
Gus.
We're going pretty deep here.
What was that question?
We were talking about bubble hash and sifting.
I was trying to explain the process of the dry plant. That's why I guess that would be the newer thing that is now kind of hitting the industry.
What's the new word?
Live rosin is what they're
called. Live rosin. And what is that meant to portray?
A virgin plant.
In a sense, yeah, because I mean, it's a plant that's just been cut. It hasn't had time to oxidize or anything.
Meaning that if you looked at the trichomes, they're light in color, yeah?
Correct. Right.
Okay.
Not just that, you're getting a representation that is almost exact to what you would have smelled if that plant had just been cut. I mean, that's really what we're trying to capture.
Yeah, like if you walked in the grow room, it's the same thing.
Which
you could just eat it.
Well, I was going to ask that question. Have you guys eaten any of the rosin? And is that actually helpful as an anti-inflammatory or anti-like autoimmune?
I always do a study.
I always have this theory that
maybe since
disorders.
You're pressing with heat, it would decarboxylize when you're squishing it out, but no, it doesn't.
No, it takes a lot of time.
So we had to, I mean, I've decarboed a bit of it. I haven't experimented too much, but I do think it's definitely an application for the rosin. The thing is, with rosin, it's an extraction process that requires so much time, so much work that, you know, when you put that much time into it, you want to smoke it and get the full taste of it, the full... Yeah.
But still, incinerating it, you are destroying something, so wouldn't it be good to also ingest it orally?
That would vary on the temperatures you use it to destroy.
Yeah, true.
So with our product, we always recommend a low temp. Nothing too crazy.
I always want to eat it.
Yeah. Rosin?
Well, I mean, and cannabis products, I like edibles, even though it does get metabolized by the liver and takes longer to kick in. I find that the anti-inflammatory effects are so excellent with edibles.
I
have arthritis in a foot and plantar fasciitis.
I do too.
I find that edibles are much more effective.
I'm going to start eating them, I guess.
Are you eating the raw plant or rosin?
Juicing is excellent.
When I can get raw plant material, I will juice it. Yeah, but you have to get that really finely. Yeah. It's one. I know somebody who's trimming and they're like, I have a bag.
Is it in a blender or a wheatgrass juicer?
I do it. I have a wheatgrass juicer. Sometimes I do it that way, or sometimes I'll just stick it in a blender. I have a Vitamix, which is like the strongest blender.
Blender would be better to keep everything in there.
Of course, to keep the fiber too. I'm a big proponent of not juicing things unless you have so much digestive problem that you can't handle the fiber because of the sugar
impact. You're juicing the buds and the whole plant?
Interesting. Put it through a wheatgrass juicer and it's excellent,
especially with hemp seeds added to it.
What do they do differently? What's in them that wouldn't be in them a week later?
I'm sure Jeff will elaborate. I'll start. The THC and the CBD are still in their acid forms, which means that they're not going to fill the receptor that would make you stoned, per se, but they're still going to have a really strong anti-inflammatory effect, which is why I like to ingest it. And I like that also that I don't like being high that much, so I can, you know, eat some plant material in a salad and go about my day and not be stoned at all and also not have pain in my foot, which is excellent.
Oh, wow.
Which is why these products, like what these guys are making and some other products that are out there that are retaining the the THC and CBD in acid form, so in like the raw plant form, you're not going to get high from it, but it's going to provide a lot of health benefits that people aren't even aware
yeah,
of.
Well,
right. You can
that.
Always smoke a joint for the high, but right. I want to yeah. take but care of my body
wanna,
right now.
Yeah, or
that's
like if
what
you
I
have a lot
about.
Of stuff to do and you don't want to be stoned all the time,
right.
or you
exactly,
just don't
like,
enjoy
like,
it,
for
you
example,
can still benefit from
I have
the plant.
A bad back. I had a really bad mm-hmm. accident when I was a kid, so we tend to test our materials on ourselves first mm-hmm. before we make public what our findings are. We need a little fancy notebook and everything that we go through mm-hmm. with every strain, temperature, whatnot. So,
excellent.
So what works best for you? What have you found that works best for your back?
Yeah.
Well, personally, me, it's either edibles or like CBD oil. So especially if I'm
do
doing a lot of driving.
Do you purchase someone else's product or do you only eat your own?
Well, 80% is now we're making our own stuff and we're testing our own stuff. So I haven't had to purchase anything.
Uh-huh. Is it CBD hemp or CBD cannabis?
A little of both. It depends nice. On what process we're doing. I mean,
we have to get into
it. Is there a difference, Jeff? Is there a difference? Thank you.
There is a difference, though.
Okay.
So there's definitely a whole plant profile difference.
Okay,
right?
Tell
Just
us.
Like you're saying about different cannabis cultivars or strains, they're uh-huh. all different in the same fashion. Mm-hmm. So hemp typically doesn't have large amounts of CBD acid or CBD profiles mm-hmm. And not very many terpenes from what we can see because it's not grown for flower. It's
okay.
grown for fiber, seeds, okay. and it's a different type of plant.
Okay.
So there's some there, but there's just not going to be a lot of it. So
you need like how
profiles
how much more
may be very different. There might be very therapeutically beneficial hemp cultivars, but we just don't see many of them. Mm-hmm. So they're bred for like next to no THC and very low cannabinoids in general. So it's kind of not the type of place you'd like to go harvesting those things.
Okay, what about the CBD that's all over the internet? The hemp
so
CBD.
Single molecule CBD is just like the same liking to Marinol. One molecule is not as effective as a whole plant composition.
Mm. Okay.
Now, here's so here's an interesting
like
question.
Want that as much.
I've always wondered, hemp, is it just one singular strain, kind of like ruderalis, or are there varieties
no.
of hemp?
No, it's a legal definition. So that's it's all cannabis in the end.
Damn
so
you,
like
a percentage? You bastards.
If it's hemp, it's under a certain percentage?
It's
or
two things, and okay. it's an and, not an or. You have to have both parts, which is which part of the plant did I get it from, and it is less than 0.3% THC. So
okay,
it's the
so
stalks,
which...
stems, oils, seeds, and oils pressed from those parts. So no flowers, none of the good parts that ever have a lot of cannabinoids.
Okay.
So only those things that they're really, really confident have next to no cannabinoids in will they define legally as hemp, but it's all from cannabis.
Okay, but they don't, when you said that that hemp doesn't have cannabinoids in it.
It does, just
it does.
Very small.
Very
small
many.
Amounts. Little. So how they're preaching that hemp does this, hemp CBD is going to cure cancer, does this. Is that all bullshit? Or, I mean,
it's,
are people doing...
It's saying cannabis has the potential to do it, but that CBD may not. That CBD doesn't have everything else with it that's important to doing
True.
This. True.
What is the CBD that they're giving...
Most
kids.
Of those are single isolate CBD that they've had
for
the hemp type guys. A lot of the, so there's two different things. Epidiolex is under trial by GW, and that's mostly CBD with a little bit of some other stuff they're not telling mm-hmm. us about.
Mm-hmm.
And if you
Great.
Compare the efficacy of that trial with what Bonnie Goldstein and Dustin Sulak published an artisanal cannabis survey of what they see out in the medical markets in Massachusetts and here, you see greater therapeutic effectiveness in epilepsy with the artisanal strain. So broader diversity, more components of the plant seem to be more effective for mm-hmm. more children with
that
different types of
sense.
Epilepsy.
Which touches that upon the issue of the entourage effect, which Sanjay Gupta went pivotal about.
Yeah.
So you can't have a CBD
it's
only
not just
product
one molecule just, CBD.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
there's research out of Israel that said single right. molecule CBD was super narrow therapeutic window. So you'll see a little bit for some, but not as broadly based as others. And when they take the whole plant extract, they see a lot more therapeutic utility.
Just like taking a beta carotene pill is not eating a carrot.
Yeah. Correct.
Drink a glass of wine instead of the resveratrol.
Oh,
so much better
is it
than
the
grapes.
Same than a carrot?
No, I cannot
molecule.
Condone alcohol.
Which molecules are better for us then?
Well, I think more is better than less.
Okay. That's what I say, Jim.
It does depend how you mix them, too.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, which ones are together with which ratios, definitely.
I'm so confused.
Right.
Oh, that was
I
a great
I thought we
face.
Were talking about pot.
We're talking about it at a microscopic level.
It's
beautiful.
I mean, you know, I just like to get good pot and smell it and taste it and smoke it and feel it. And I never really thought about all this other stuff.
Well, pot gets pretty deep, though.
But there's got to
be
something
like, what's
that,
happening in there? Why is it so different? Why is this, why is
what
this pot different from
pot,
all
Patty?
Other pots?
What do you look for in pot? There's got to be something that captures your attention or flavor, specific something, right?
You know what? It's not really about a flavor for me. It's about a head. I like
the sativa.
I like laughing pot.
Got it.
And they haven't had that since the 70s.
Okay.
I see. Yeah, I don't care for that. I like pain.
Some of these things have been selectively bred out. Yes.
Mm.
Right?
I know.
So there's some things like we don't have really skunky smelling stuff.
Oh my God, skunkweed, they called it.
You would get caught like growing that. Your neighbor would say that you're growing that. So that's been selected out because of like unnatural selection.
A lot of geneticists are heirlooming strains nowadays. So, I mean, there's a few people in Oregon that are bringing back like old white widows.
Right.
When
we get them licensed, they'll feel comfortable enough to open those old seeds, and we might see more genetic.
You know what? We're
going to
talk more about
so
this because I just got the hook, and we're going to come back with our fabulous guests. But we're going to take a quick break and be back with more Hot Pot topics. I didn't think we'd make it, guys. No, I'm just teasing. We're having a great show. I love it today. It's a beautiful day. Meanwhile, it's summer. It's hot. We have Gus and Mike from the Ross and Company, or Ross and Co.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. Forgive me?
Always.
And they are a solventless... Okay.
Solventless.
Extract company. Mm-hmm. And then I have fabulous, the most incredible Dr. Jeffrey Raber. Yay! Yay! Thank you. He's blushing. And my sweet co-host, Jessica Sweet.
Hello.
We're so glad. Again. And we're talking about terpenes. We're talking about all this scientific stuff that's so incredible that really enhances the cannabis that we use for our pain and anxiety, for our heads, for whatever. It all makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And what I would like to know, California's just getting ready to change over to recreational marijuana. And there's a lot of question about the rules, because I think, is it different now from when you first started the rules? Have they changed in the business that you're in, Jeffrey?
They're currently really changing in California.
So how
there's
so?
Been collective like understanding basically until now, and then there has recently been draft regulations that were put out, and now everyone's provided comments. They're still commenting on it. The Bureau of Cannabis Regulations has to take a new bill that just passed with a part of the trailer bill. So with the budget trailer bill, they added some cannabis provisions to harmonize medical and recreational cannabis in California. Mm-hmm. So the licensing structure, and then some of that impacts how the regulations are written. And we'll find out at the end of the year what the regulations will be, the rules that follow the laws.
Because right
going
now it's
forward.
Open for
comment. Right now it's just comment and it's in flux, and we're trying to say, okay, so what wait, you wait. Drafted
I,
wasn't
I'm
right.
I'm so
this
confused.
Who gets to comment on this?
Anybody.
Oh, okay. Everybody does.
Okay. So you could put your two cents in, Jess.
So do you know by any chance where we go to comment on this?
So the public comment period closed, yeah. But you can still email and comment to the department. It's still okay to do.
Excellent.
They don't have to read that by law, but they will. I think they're very open and receptive right
now.
So
the bottom line is, if they get a lot of comments about one specific thing, that's what they're going to change.
Yeah.
I mean, because they don't know what they're doing, obviously. Right. Who is on this cannabis?
Some of what everyone said. So I think they have the benefit of looking at all the other states and what they've done. And then they tried to do it Californian style and go a little overboard.
And that's where they fuck it.
The public said, hey, some of this is not right. It's too much. That's not going to make sense. Mm-hmm. And they have a chance to take all that input and say, all right, well, this is more reasonable and rational based on all the comments we got. And you're right. If 1,000 people say the same thing, they're going to listen to it more than if one person. Did.
Right.
Of course.
So if you see something that doesn't make sense, and we saw things like some of the pesticide levels seemed extreme, residual solvents didn't seem to make any sense,
right.
How they were asking that, methodologies of, you know, some things they tried to dictate in regulation, which should be in a guiding document and not in the actual rules. Because mm-hmm. if you break a rule, for example, not using the right marker when you're taking a sample, you would then be, infractions. You could get a fine and you might jeopardize your license for doing that.
Who fines you? The Bureau
does. Right.
Yeah. I want to know who, what are the people on these bureaus? Are they pot people? Are they people that are?
These are alcohol people, actually. So Lori Ajax.
Oh, so they're a bunch of alcoholics.
Bureau. Well, alcohol regulators.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say they were alcohol.
Same thing.
I said they have regulated alcohol.
Do you think that those people have any motivation to be more restrictive with cannabis?
Because
they favor alcohol?
Exactly. Thank
you. No, I think they have to take the position to be a little bit more restrictive for public health and safety because you don't know better.
Wait a minute.
Right. But wait. Yeah, hold on a second. These are the people that allow us to use alcohol.
It's safer to use alcohol and kill yourself and everybody else.
No, I'm saying like in terms of microbiological levels or what the labs might be able to catch before the product hits the market. So in alcohol, you can actually, they've run a test randomly spot checking products on the market. And to the second decimal place, they have the ethanol content right.
Okay.
Because they're all dialed in, they know exactly what they have to watch, and they're taxed on that stuff. So mm-hmm. they're really accurate in every aspect. We're not that good at getting THC right or some of the other things that are found in there like pesticides and all the individual organisms that might really cause harm to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Cannabis and cannabinoids and terpenes present on the plant don't cause as much physiological harm, but something that goes with the product could kill somebody.
So
you have to be protective from a regulator standpoint to say, we don't want to hurt anybody.
Mm-hmm. But
what
else
explore and have this.
But what else would be in there?
Oh, you could have
chemicals.
Like listeria, E. coli. You could have
in
pathogenic
cannabis?
Bacteria
mold.
That show
Wait a
up
minute.
From someone's
in
cannabis.
You can
cannabis.
Get in E. coli yeah. from cannabis?
On cannabis.
I've
yeah.
heard
so
of
cannabis
cases
doesn't produce
of
it, but
there
it'll be
being
with it.
Fecal matter on cannabis.
Yeah, if the person so
have a dog
touching
running
the plant
around
didn't wash their hands. You know, anybody I know that works in a grow room is in a clean suit. They put on clean clothes every time they take a shower. If people aren't doing that, they're putting whatever the last thing that they touched is on the plant. It's just like you don't want somebody going to the bathroom and exactly. If you're putting it in your body,
I do not want you peeing and shitting in my garden.
If you're putting it in your body, you got to know what goes on it, food or flour.
Correct.
So how do you think with the new laws, what's going to happen? I mean, everything that you had as far as your packaging and all your the verbiage
has to change.
Exactly.
Yeah, so there's mandatory words that have to be on there, mm-hmm, for consumer protection or warning. Some make sense, some don't really. There are packaging requirements, you know, child-proof, tamper-evident, things of that type, mm-hmm, and other components that have to be there for content. So testing values and different types of things. No marketing claims. I'm not going to be able to say it's effective for this physiological effect. And you'll see things change radically, I think, because of that. It'll be suggestive, but not as bold. It'll have one of those disclaimers, this has not been approved by blah, blah, blah. And right. No products like FDA things labeling. Attractive for kids.
Well, mm-hmm, hey, look what they put on cigarettes, yeah, and alcohol. You know, they do the same thing.
Surgeon general warning.
Yep. Right.
Like, oh, that's nothing.
Everybody cares.
In Europe, on cigarette packages, besides the fact that they're like €10 each, there is literally a picture of a gross, decaying lung.
Like,
they're not mincing words.
Forget
the text. Just look at this horrible picture of a burned, bloody lung.
We get a THC exclamation point and a symbol, like an upside down triangle. So it says this contains, you know, cannabis in a way.
You know what I always wondered is would this be regulated by like FDA? Could it be classed as a supplement, you know, in rosin form or any other?
So I think eventually we'd all like to see it regulated by the FDA,
yeah,
and you'll get every variety possible. Could we use it as a food when you eat it raw on top of, like, it's like,
sure,
a lettuce form,
like a seasoning?
For the dried leaves?
And then if it's in a topical,
a dietary supplement, or mm-hmm, it could be topical, it could be over the counter, and it could be prescription.
You know what? Whatever the FDA says means nothing, because if you watch daytime TV, every commercial or for lawyers saying, if you use this, or if you had mesh in your body, if you had steel rot, you're dying, or your loved one, everything they said is all fucked up wrong.
Well,
so why would anybody listen to what they say?
Yeah,
they're saying
question.
What they legally have to, right?
Well,
I think the law could be better
God.
Written if it was to say this is the percent it was efficacious in the clinical trial. So 30% of the people in the trial benefited from that.
Mm-hmm.
You choose to take it. Here are some of the side effects others saw.
Do you think that it could be possible that this is going to raise that issue for many products? Because in the United States, like, we're kind of known for not being that strict with our regulation for supplements. Like, the best supplements really come from Germany,
mm-hmm,
and because they're very consistent and
rigid,
and stable.
Yeah, that's how China gets away with it.
Yeah, so like in the United States, we're not generally known for having super like, for example, if you go get curcumin, which is an extract of turmeric, which is a anti-inflammatory and blood thinner, you can get such a wide variety of a dose in things that claim to be the same dose because it's not that strictly regulated.
Why can't you just go buy...
So is this going to cause...
But like lavender extracts from Europe are super standardized.
Right.
So
they're bad?
You can get
so
there.
Is this going to require
so
that our entire
consistent.
Regulation industry step it up a notch? Because we kind of are not very good at that right now.
Yeah, right? We're still trying to enact Duché to a full extent, right?
Yeah.
And that was in the 90s when
yes.
we started that.
So
that could also be good. It could also shoot us in the foot, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm sure the schedulization of it has an obvious impact in how this plays out as of this moment, because it still mm-hmm. has no, you know, in the federal eyes, it has no efficacy, no medical value.
No accepted medical use.
Which, you know, it's
they hold patents.
Paradoxically, they hold multiple patents mm-hmm. for multiple aspects of the cannabis plant, which is, you know, ironic, yet...
No efficacy. I wouldn't think it would be a commercial use.
I think we're beyond irony to hypocrisy here. I think we can say it.
Yeah. Safe, very safe to say.
Is there anything else that we want to talk about as far as terpenes?
I was just going to say, I want somebody to talk about this lovely chart that we're looking. We're looking at this
effects.
Pie chart of just a few terpenes, because I want to know more about how specific terpenes affect specific conditions. Like, what's one that I may have heard of and what's it good for?
So we know what they may be good for by themselves. Like things, like I said, like terpenylene could cause sedation, limonene and others like beta-carotene are really good for antimicrobial, antibacterial types of stuff. Linalool is good for sedation or anxiety. Though.
And like
but
what
that's
else, what
not
else
always
might you find?
What you get.
No.
Like what I don't like about these charts is they'll say you have some pinene, so you're going to have X effect.
It's generalized.
But how do I know there's not three other things
right.
in there canceling that out or raising
right.
the other
right.
side of the bar?
Correct.
So
right.
I can't extrapolate one thing thing leads to all of these things. I have to say, all of these together, like this and this ratio delivered that way, gives you most likely that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you may be different. That's kind of all we could ever really say and know for now. It's going to take a large amount of work until you could start to narrow that down and say, I think someone that has, you know, anxiety at these types of anxieties should try this cannabis medicine, and here's the first five to go after. I think the goal is, how few trials can I get to the right stuff for me?
Correct.
And can I keep getting that same thing every time?
Correct.
Well, I wonder if the cannabis industry can piggyback off of the aromatherapy industry, because they seem to have figured out like some mixes for stress relief.
Right.
Definitely.
Stimulation.
I mean, we see cannabis essential oils, which would be, you know, good for aromatherapy.
Cannabis candles.
Somebody make a roll-on. Wink, wink.
Deodorant.
Roll
on the scents, and you can use that.
If I want to smell like cannabis
like
when I'm sweating. All of a sudden you get warm and smell like hot pot.
You put on the deodorant and go for a German interview. Hey, sir, you smell like the dank.
Nice to meet you. Depending on what position.
He
starts laughing, he hires you.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's your kind of man. He's one of us. So what else should we look forward to in this? I mean, this is still in its infancy stages. What's the next step?
Well, I think product standardization is probably the next step. As you license the cultivators, they can consistently cultivate the same things. They can breed for new things, and they'll keep them around. Mm-hmm. They'll capture them, and they hopefully won't disappear if they're getting a good response.
So wait a minute. What happened to the old Acapulco Gold? You said it was breeded out.
Yeah,
what does that mean?
Been lost, right?
So I know, but
either
what does it mean?
Some of it came here and doesn't grow the same because the environment's very different.
Okay.
Right, and then it's been bred in different directions, and they left the other stuff behind, and it just died off. Mm-hmm. So we hope that licensing will bring people to open up some of the older seeds that they may have had and go back to what those genetic profiles were expressing. But we don't know if it'll express the same as you got because the environment's very different.
A little bit warming, a little bit different. You're looking at 50 years.
We might get there in another 50
of,
years when it's super hot.
50 years where we've stripped the soil of everything and only replaced
Like unnatural selection for super rapid highs and plants that grow really fast for commercial use and don't give you away to your neighbors because someone's going to say that guy's illegally growing in there.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't had a lot of genetic diversity across the cannabis world,
right,
yet we still see all of this product diversity today. So it's really, really, really large. And it might come down to like one composition per individual for what they want.
I mean, unless everybody managed to get property in the mountains.
Yeah. Somewhere remote.
But that is mind-boggling and very promising.
Yeah, I think it's part of the excitement of cannabis.
Mm-hmm. Very
what
much
else?
So.
What else should we look forward to or be excited about?
It's not enough.
No. I'm still shocked with the terpenes.
We should look for labels changing. We should look for people getting licensed and feeling more comfortable
quality
and being innovative.
Quality
talk
assurance.
Talk about your label. Weren't you developing a label design that passed through the whole process or something?
We help with labeling quite a bit, and we're trying to put as much information that would be useful to a medical patient or someone looking for their physiological response on
that
there as well. So which cannabinoids might be beneficial to those types, which terpene compositions, what they usually are found in.
So you are putting like a terpene profile to a certain extent on that label?
So some are. I think you'll start to see that the regulations in California will require that you test for those if you're going to talk about them on your product. So I think we'll start to see more of that actually happening, which should be good for everyone to kind of learn which ones do I most likely like.
Right. Well, how do you think they'll decide which ones to test for and put on the label? Because if there are so many, you can't put like 100.
Yeah. The label won't fit all that.
How big is the label?
But it could be on an online report.
I think right now, like a top 10
seems to make the most sense. So it's digestible, and eventually you'll come up with a classification system that will say these numbers, these codes link to those types of consumers in this fashion.
So just like plant the seed with familiar names like limonene and rosmarinol and let people do their own due diligence.
Yeah. I think find what's right for you. You know, hopefully everybody can understand the label that it's presented in the right fashion. So then you can say, I know it, I like it most often when these are the top three for me.
So I have another question. So during the last break, we got to look at some of the product that Roz & Co. makes. What did you think of those?
Yeah, it was very impressive. It had a unique olfactory profile and smelled really good. I liked it.
Very flavorful as well.
Very smooth.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Definitely.
That's our one and only goal. I mean, like I was explaining to these guys here, a lot of people press it a lot higher temperatures than we do. We never press higher than like 170. I know our yields are crap.
Wow.
But the quality
of
that.
But you can tell from the smell of the raw material.
The smell, the color,
we're making
the
sure
texture.
That none of the terpenes are being destroyed in the process.
Or compromised.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Hey. Very elegant.
Yes.
I think that's the goal. Like, which processes and ways are we all going to discover and explore to find out what's like consistent or keeps there what we all want to have there? Mm-hmm. And that's also an individualized choice.
So, is that going to affect the cost of pot, cannabis?
As much as taxes, yes, it will.
I mean,
yeah,
there's a lot of things that are going to affect
process.
It in California.
Well, it's becoming this artisanal thing. You don't want that. You don't want a crappy process. You don't want residue. You want people who care about what they're doing, putting love into what they're doing.
But where do you get these products? Where does mainstream America that can buy these? Where do they get them then? And how do they trust?
Coming in 2018 to a licensed California dispensary.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, in other places, I guess. Nevada, they're killing
they just
it.
Went recreation.
They are killing it there.
Vegas. They ran out of marijuana.
No,
they didn't have distributors to take it to the store.
Right. They
headline
did.
Was a little different than the details.
My friend does wrote
there's
the.
There's plenty in the state.
There's plenty in Nevada. That was all.
In fact,
they all overproduced during medical was waiting for adult use to come in. So there's large amounts of it.
Well, they were selling it real cheap.
To 99 get distributors.
Well,
$90
sure, they're selling it cheap now if they've been sitting on it for so long.
Exactly.
It's been degrading.
But you know what? Yeah. With the influx of curious vacationers.
Yep. Canna-tourism,
now,
baby.
Right. They don't need anything. They can just go, people that have never been in a pot shop before, and say, and their shops are nice there. Have you been in them?
Yeah, they're very nice. Yeah,
they're
very
really,
professional,
really,
comfortable, you know, well built out, well lit.
Right.
You know,
right.
Very, you know,
no, it wasn't with spit and glue.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Heavy investments.
We get a wide variety here.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a different vibe there. So, you know, hey.
Well, licensing brings that. So we'll see more of that in California. And I think we're starting to see some hints of it. Santa Ana's pretty popular with, you know, nicer looking locations that know they're going to be allowed to stay there.
Wait a minute.
So
that's like an oxymoron. Nicer locations in Santa Ana.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
What's wrong with
that? I mean, it's not a hole in the wall.
Somebody said that. I thought I'd repeat it. Okay.
So the guy in a trench coat with a bunch of bags in the inside, you know?
Yeah. You know, I want
what do you want? Make it quick. Yeah. You want a dime? I got what you need, son.
No, you can't smell it. Either you want it or you don't.
Yeah. Hey, anything else that you guys want to say? Anybody?
We
got
tell
the
us
hook.
Where we can find you. How can we follow your work?
If you guys want to look us up,
watch Jess
the biggest
stocks.
Place is Instagram, Rosin Co. Look us up,
Rawsinco.
We're constantly showing off our extraction process to the public so people know exactly how their medicine is being made and where it's coming from. So look us up, and you'll always find a very, very, very tasty dab.
Yeah, I mean,
thank
you can
you
comment,
guys.
And we'll answer most of your comments as
that's
they come
another thing.
In.
Any questions, concerns, we're always open to listen.
Thank you. And excellent. Dr. Jeff, where can we find you?
At the workshop, TheWerkShop. We're on Instagram and the web as well.
Been that forever. I like that. That's mine's funny. Never changed either. It's, you know, some things just don't change. And I think that's good because it makes us look like we know what we're doing. You do. I don't know about me. It's pretty.
You do. You did a great job. It was a lot of fun today.
When I saw you walk through that door, oh my God.
We all got excited.
We were so excited. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank
you guys for listening. Hey, you can catch the show on hempradio.com. Check us out. You know, send us an email. We love hearing from you. We love that you listen. And thank all of you guys for joining us today.
Oh, it was a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely.
Great. So awesome. Nice. And on that note, it's time to blow this joint.